You've tuned in to the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Do you realize what you've done?
With Rich Liebig.
The real gangster plays his cards right.
And Michael Costanzo.
What was that that you just read?
Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news.
Good times, noodle salad.
The point is, you now have the ability to be happy.
And now, here's Rich and Mike on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to another episode of the Crispy Compact Communique. Coming at you live in the middle of a nor'easter here in Philadelphia. To be honest with you, don't know if this show's going to make it through for the full episode. So we're going to just take what we can get here on the Crispy Compact Communique. I'm Rich Liebig.
And I'm Michael
Costanzo. And we're going to try and give you the best bits in sports, entertainment, and odd news, but I cannot guarantee that, given some of the wins I'm hearing.
Oh, Rich, that's nonsense. Nothing bad has ever happened in 2020. We'll be just fine.
Yeah, perfectly fine. Absolutely fine. So before we get into all of those news topics that we want to present to you, Mike, how you doing, buddy?
I'm good. Just hanging in there, you know. I think I finally got the Christmas shopping done.
Finally?
You know, it's finally, yeah. You know, it's one of those things where I've been working on in the past couple of weeks. And this year's a little bit different because you have to, you know, you have to order everything online. You can't really go to stores to shop like the way you used to. So, I mean, I always order stuff online, but it's like even more stressed now because everybody else is ordering online too. But I think I finally got the last of the presents. I think I'm all ready for Christmas. I just got to make it, you know, to the middle of next week, and then I'm done. You know, you can finally sit back and enjoy the holidays.
Yeah, I mean, we're a week out now at this rate, so here we go. This is it. This is the final push already.
This is the final stretch. Yeah. So that's what I've been doing. Christmas shopping, Christmas planning.
Yeah, I mean, so we have end of Christmas. We have end of football season coming up. There's a lot of end of the year. Yep. There's a lot of big things happening, so it's
the end of the year is always
busy. So it's all right to feel a little overwhelmed, and of course, why not? Let's throw a nor'easter in the middle of it. Here you go, just mess everything up.
Of course.
We're gonna do our best to try and get you this episode out, and hopefully we make it to the end.
Yeah, we'll be fine. But what have you been up to? How are you? How you been
hanging in there? It was good for those that are fans of WMMR. I got to see Preston and Steve today. We did a bit today that involved a new legendary character called the Nor'easter Bunny.
The Nor'easter Bunny.
Yeah,
okay.
He comes out right before a Nor'easter happens, and he gives out leftover candy from Halloween. Ooh. So it's great.
Now, that is a holiday character that I can get behind.
I think everyone could get behind that. Who, first off, he's recycling unused candy, so that's good. Get that out of your closet.
Right.
And then everybody gets free candy. So who's going to say no to
that? Exactly. Right. Look, I will support any character that gives out candy, okay?
Yes.
So I am in full support. I fully endorse the Nor'easter Bunny. Which is a great play on words. I enjoy that. That's a good one.
Yeah, so there you go. It's already been a momentous day here in the history of Philadelphia, as far as I'm concerned. But we got more to get to. Besides the snow, besides the revelation of a new winter character, we're going to jump right into some sports news. And I love this first topic. I love the fact that this is still going on strong, and it's a real possibility. The Jets are now 0-13, and there's no sign that the bleeding is going to stop anytime soon because the Jets lost to the Seattle Seahawks 40-3.
What a train wreck.
To put this on a scale, Vegas gave the New York Jets on sports books, they gave them 18 points. So you could have had 18 points plus a teaser. You could have theoretically have gotten the Jets plus 24 points or 25 points, and you still lost because the Jets are this bad. Do you think they're going to go 0-16? Is this happening? Are we going to now have the Lions and the Browns going to get joined by the Jets?
I very well think that this could happen. So let's look at the rest of their schedule. They have the Rams, the Browns, and the Patriots.
They're all except for the Patriots. I think the problem is going to be the Patriots.
The problem is going to be the Patriots because they will either be in the playoffs or out of the playoffs. If they're out of the playoffs, they got nothing to play for except pride. I don't know. Maybe Bill Belichick shows up and just completely crushes his division rival, the New York Jets.
Here's what should happen. The Jets are probably going to lose the next two games because they're playoff teams. And then they're going to go versus the Patriots. And they're going to go up like 20-3 at halftime. And then Bill Belichick, just to twist the knife, is going to lead a comeback with the team. And they'll win the final game 27-24. And the Jets go 0-16. That would be hilarious.
I mean, that could very well happen. I don't see them winning any of these games. The Patriots, like you said, is the only one that gives me worry. But I'm looking at 0-16 right here. I think they have it pretty much locked up. And why would you want to ruin the potential to get the number one overall pick right now at the 11th hour? Actually, that seems like a very Jets thing to do, so maybe they will.
Yeah, what would be the Jets thing? Yeah, is it worse now?
It would come out and lose to the Rams next week. Or, sorry, to beat the Rams next week, because there's... Yeah, that would be the Jets thing to do, but I think they have to find a way to lose these games. As weird as that sounds.
Well, I think they're going to find it, because obviously this offense is not working. Everything's not working with this team. They lost 40-3. I know it's Russell Wilson, but the Seattle Seahawks have an atrocious defense, and the Jets only put up 3 points.
Look, it doesn't matter how good or bad the offense and defense is. When you get blown out by 37 points in today's NFL, that doesn't really happen. You don't really see margins of victory that large. The league has been designed, the rules have been designed so that games are closer and closer. You know, so this is...
Not if you involve the New York Football Jets.
Not at all. So it is an abnormality. It just goes to show how bad they truly are. I'm looking at their team stats just in general for the season. I mean, they have no receivers. They only have one receiver who has over 500 yards. I mean, same thing with running backs. I mean, it's just pitiful. Whatever happened to Le'Veon Bell? Is he alive? Did he die?
He got cut and sent to Kansas City, and the New York Jets. The New York Jets are running with Frank Gore.
Yeah, they are. I mean, if that doesn't sum it up right there, Frank Gore, 30-million-year-old Frank Gore.
He's as old as your dinosaurs, Mike.
He is.
So
I don't know why they didn't keep Flacco in.
I know. If I was Sam Darnold, I would get out of town. This is a sinking ship, and it's not going to get fixed anytime soon. If I was Sam Darnold, I would refuse to play. Like that. Why?
Yeah, but what does that accomplish?
Stay healthy. Don't get injured.
Stay healthy, I guess.
Don't get hurt in a meaningless...
But wouldn't you want to put tape... Wouldn't you want to put some highlights on tape so he could get signed by a team? Isn't that the argument?
No, you already have enough tape. He's played the majority of games for the Jets since he got drafted. He's already got tape. He's fine. He does not need to get hurt in a meaningless week 15, 16, or 17 game where the Jets are purposely trying to lose and go 0-16 and get Trevor Lawrence trying to draft a guy who's probably going to replace your job anyway.
I mean, you're right. It's very clear that they're trying to lose, and they're going to draft a quarterback. They're going to pull an Arizona Cardinals, draft a quarterback after already drafting a quarterback. But look at how it worked for the Cardinals. You know, so we can't really fight against that type of
offense. No, the Arizona Cardinals have really flipped the script in terms of how you rebuild an NFL franchise, because
take 3 first round quarterbacks in like 6 years,
and hopefully one pays off. And when it does, you stick with them.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you build these teams around the quarterback. You know, that's how you do it in a modern NFL. You got to find that centerpiece.
Yep. Well, that's a good transition into our next topic. Speaking of quarterbacks, we got to look within ourselves, because the Eagles started with Jalen Hurts and they ended up with a victory. And now Jalen Hurts is the starting quarterback for the Philadelphia Eagles.
So mad at the Eagles right now.
Mike, reactions?
I'm actually mad at the Eagles.
Yeah.
Yeah, reactions. This is, you know how we talk about what's the Jets thing to do? This is the Eagles thing to do. You're coming into the final 4 games of the season. It's looking like you can get a top 5 pick. It's looking like, you know, we're just going to rest and rebuild next year. We're going to reset everything and try and come back stronger. And then they go ahead and they beat the one of the best teams in the NFC. And it's like, where was that when you were playing nobody teams earlier in the year? You know, where was that when you tied the Bengals?
Yeah.
Where was this gusto? Where was this fight back? This is so quintessentially Eagles to not only come out and win a meaningless game at the tail end of a season when you should just be sending out your backups, but then to also do it with a backup quarterback to spark yet another Philadelphia Eagles quarterback controversy. Because where do we go now? Do we start Hurts next year? Do we start Wentz next year? Do we trade Hurts? Do we trade Wentz? I hate it. I'm sick of it.
Oh, Mike, and get used to it.
It's going to be the story for the next
Mike, you need to get a bib on and get your soup ready, get your spoon ready, and get ready to scoop up a whole bunch of this soup, because this is not going to go away for the next 6 months.
And I said, this, there's no way this ends well for the Eagles. And I was right. There's no way this ends well for the Eagles. Hurts came out and he beats arguably the best team in the NFC. And now, I know they're
a good team. They're a good team, but not the best team.
Well, in terms of records, I mean, they're up there. You know, they were vying for the top spot.
Yeah, but let's
And to be fair to everybody here, Hurts didn't beat them. Hurts played well, but he didn't play outstandingly.
Yeah,
But it's not going to make things easier for the Eagles, because now you hear the calls to trade to Indianapolis, to trade to New England, to get rid of Wentz, you know, to just swallow the cap hit now and move on to Hurts. And this happens every time that we have a backup quarterback coming. It happened with Cobb. It happened with you know, Mike Vick. It happened with Carson and Foles. It happened with Carson and Hurts. It's like we can't get away from this plot line.
Yeah.
We're in a really bad...
Let's try and get a little bit more grounded here. The Saints in this game obviously did not have Drew Brees. They were still starting their backup quarterback as well.
Right.
The Saints, I think, are guilty of a little bit of looking ahead, because they have a huge matchup with the Chiefs in Week 15 coming up, and I think they were guilty. I think they were more focused on getting ahead and getting prepared for that game, and they got suckered into a trap game with the Eagles. And the Eagles, on the flip side, offensive problems aside, they still think they could win the division. They're going to fight until they're mathematically eliminated. And it was the perfect storm. You insert Jalen Hurts, and Jalen Hurts did what he needed to do. Now, he didn't do fantastic.
The keys were
he didn't commit any turnovers for most of the game.
Right.
It wasn't until the very end that he committed a turnover. But no picks,
no sacks,
which is that's kind of a little. A big mark against Wentz.
Yeah, it is. It's very much an indictment against Wentz, because Wentz has been one of the most sacked quarterbacks in the league. And, you know, the cries have always been he holds the ball too long. He tries to play hero ball. He runs into sacks. And, I mean,
yeah,
you know, dot, dot, dot. It's kind of looking like it may have been true.
And Hurts, for the most part, didn't really attempt any deep ball passes. But it seemed like he didn't need to. He just played a more consistent and a more mistake-free form of football. As a matter of fact, I was watching this game, and somebody said it was just so refreshing just to see competent football. You know,
yeah.
There wasn't goofy things happening. There wasn't careless interceptions or sacks being taken. It was just solid, mistake-free, not flashy, going off the charts, but just consistent football. And that's sometimes all you need to win a football game, and that's what it was for the Eagles.
Exactly. When you take that slow and steady approach and you have a defense that was playing the way the Eagles defense was, you know, you can squeak out in games like this. I mean, the defense, you know, give them props where props is due. 5 sacks against the Saints. They had a fumble recovery. They have an interception as well, I'm seeing in the box score. So, you know, the defense really stepped up in this game, and you know, all you need, like you said, is that mistake-free football.
Yep.
So, you know, it's and that's what I'm saying is Hurts didn't do anything flashy, but he played well enough to spark a controversy, which is the thing that annoys me the most.
So, well, you're worried that this is still going to be a thing?
Well, you know,
yeah, it's going to be a thing. That's the worst part. It's going to stick around until next season. It's not going away.
Yeah. I mean, if the Eagles really want to be a quarterback factory, they would trade Wentz, wouldn't they?
Well, I mean, it's a possibility. There was...
It's always a possibility.
I think I texted this to you. There was an interesting quote from Peter King where he said, personally, he doesn't think Wentz will get traded, but he heard from an inside source, specifically a GM, that they are reviewing game footage of Carson Wentz.
Yep.
And to him, that's a sign that if the Eagles are serious about moving off of Wentz, there would be a trade market for him, even though he has the big contract and a lot of moving parts would have to be figured out to make that trade official. But we'll see. This is it'll be interesting territory.
In the NFL, anything is possible, and they're constantly, I mean, these GMs are constantly making calls and asking about, you know, trading players that you don't think are movable just because they're doing their job. They're doing their due diligence. So I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, heading into the end of this, not the end of the season, because that would be tampering, but during the off season, if we hear a whole bunch of quote unquote rumors that the Eagles are looking to shop Wentz, and it's not going to be rumors that the Eagles are actively shopping him, but rather that GMs are inquiring about him, because 3 years ago, he was arguably one of the best at the position, top five at the quarterback position. So, you know, GMs are going to ask about that. Now, the Eagles are this is the part that I'm concerned about. The Eagles are in a tough spot, and people's jobs are on the line. Howie's job is on the line. Doug Peterson's job is on the line. Do they try to save themselves by which quarterback are they going to tie themselves to? Because Howie right now looks like he could be a genius if Hurts pans out. If Hurts doesn't pan out and Wentz doesn't pan out, all of a sudden, Howie made a lot of bad cap choices. He made a lot of bad trades for aging veterans. All of a sudden, Howie needs one of these guys to succeed or flip one for a first or second round pick, or he's gone.
Yeah.
So it becomes a very tricky political situation.
I think in the grand scheme of things, this still works out for the case of we need of the Eagles needing to rebuild the roster and potentially having to do something to blame Howie Roseman for some of the decisions that have been made. I mean, literally, he only has one Pro Bowl choice with his draft picks in the last couple seasons. Yeah. It's been barren.
It's been atrocious.
Right? So, I mean, at some point, that's going to lay at the feet of Howie Roseman. There's not going to be much he can hide from that for much longer. Maybe if Hurts does pan out, maybe that gives him a little bit more wiggle room. But there's still going to have to be significant change that happens within the Eagles organization this offseason.
Right. It's required if we want to come back in 2021 and be competitive, because clearly the rest of the division is, I hate to say it, but, you know, they're looking better than we are right now. It's going to be a competitive division going forward. So in order to be competitive in the division, we need to really be honest with ourselves. We need to, first off, we need to get an offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
To help balance Peterson's play calling. And
an actual offensive coordinator would help, yeah.
Right, an actual offensive coordinator would help. But we also need somebody to make Wentz accountable, because throughout this whole quarterback controversy, we've seen reports of, you know, I don't know how true they are, but you see the headlines, Wentz is supposedly uncoachable, and Wentz is this, and Wentz is that, and where there's smoke, there's fire. I don't know that I buy it. But you do need coaches. That was one thing that Frank Reich and DeFilippo did is they held him accountable. They worked on his mechanics, and his mechanics weren't an issue in 2017. They took him from very raw 2016 to MVP caliber in 2017. That's not an accident, okay? And he still played well for the most part in 2018. So you have to somehow figure out how this regression happened, and I think you need coaches there to balance. I think Wentz is a little bit of a competitor. He's a little bit of an ego, being super competitive and being, you know, the franchise quarterback. So you need somebody to keep him in check. You need somebody to keep Peterson in check. an offensive coordinator would be that person.
Yeah, like how most of the other teams do that.
It's as simple as that. Yeah. The other thing you need to do is you need to shed weight off this team. You know, we got to seriously look at Zach Ertz. We got to seriously look at Fletcher Cox. We need to seriously look at Brandon Graham. These are aging veterans who are carrying big cap hits, and the Eagles are in dire cap straits. So we need to get really honest with this team. We can't be like the 2008 Phillies where we just hold on to this veteran talent that won us a championship for 6-7 years because there are guys. Like, yeah, there are guys, but would you rather them ride off into the sunset being heroes or stay long enough to become the villains? Because now you got Jason Peters, who's eating up left tackle money, sitting on the bench.
Good job. You I like that. That. I like that. That very good, Mike. Like inserting a Dark Knight reference into our sports discussions. Very good.
Mic drop. I'm just going to walk away. I'm done.
Very good. Very good. But yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how the Eagles do with their second game with Jalen Hurts. And then we're going to go from there. We're going to see how the Eagles decide to play this out with two different one quarterback making a crap ton of money and another quarterback on a rookie contract. So.
Yeah, well, that's how you win Super Bowls, quarterbacks on rookie contracts. That's all I'm saying. That's what the Eagles subreddit would say. But looking forward to the future, Rich, why don't we dive on in to the Fantastic Four picks looking ahead to four of the best games this upcoming week, week 15 of the NFL season. First up, we have a great one, an NFC playoff preview. The Seattle Seahawks are traveling to Washington to face off against the football team.
The football team, can the placeholders
defeat the Seahawks and further cement their right to a playoff spot here? Can they finally reach 500 against the Seahawks? Seahawks have been a little slippy and slidey lately. I know they just blew out the Jets, but you know they're far from being a huge force like they once were. What do you think?
So this is interesting. Seattle has pretty much no defense this year. But they're still led by Russell Wilson and that explosive passing offense. On the flip side, Washington has been slowly but steadily getting better each week, and their defense has been just vicious the last couple weeks, forcing turnovers. I think they had two defensive touchdowns last week against the 49ers. Just they may be able just to rely on that. Just Alex Smith may not even have to, you know, do anything that much. It's literally... Or if it ends up being another quarterback, because apparently Alex Smith sustained another injury. So the offense may not even need to do that much, is what I'm trying to get at in this game. They're going to be at home.
Yeah.
I don't know. I kind of like Washington at home in this one. I like Ron Riviera. I like Riverboat Ron. He's been making the right calls with this team. This whole, pretty much this whole season, turning this ship around. I mean, this team 9 months ago was the laughingstock of the NFL. Right now, I don't think any team actually wants to see them this late in the season. I'm gonna go on a limb. I think Washington could pull this one off.
Wow, taking a flyer on the Washington football team. Unfortunately, I'm going to disagree. I know they've won a couple of impressive games so far, but I think they come back to earth here with the Seahawks. I know the Seahawks don't have a great defense, but they do have one of the most electric offenses in the league. And you just mentioned there's questions about quarterback play right now. The Washington football team has not been good without Alex Smith in the lineup. So those two things together, I think, is looking more like a Seahawks win here. It's just going to be very difficult for the Washington football team to keep up with that offense. I know they were able to shut down the Steelers, but Seattle brings the X factor of Russell Wilson, and you can't discount that. I know I wasn't too high on the Seahawks in previous weeks, but I think this is where they have to really cement themselves as one of the better teams in the NFC right now. If they let the Washington football team beat them, all of a sudden they could, you know, come into the playoffs slipping and slide, and they don't want to do that. So for the sake of their playoff hopes, this is a must-win game for Seattle. They need to come into Washington, and they need to beat a team on the rise to sort of give them that mojo to finish out the season. I'm going to go with the Seahawks in this
one. Well, they could do that, but I'm just going to go with, the the last couple weeks that they've played, they have not been acting like a playoff team.
They haven't been, and there is something to say about, you know, going with the hot hand and getting hot at the right time. Washington could be that team, but I'm still not completely sold. If Alex Smith isn't playing, it's going to be rough for them. But moving on to the next one, this is the complete opposite of that one. You know, that one's just an NFC playoff preview against two teams who are sort of, you know, trying to find their way through things. This could be a potential Super Bowl preview as the Kansas City Chiefs travel to New Orleans to face off against the Saints. I'm surprised this didn't get flexed to primetime, but it's a Sunday 4:25 game. Rich, Chiefs or Saints? And why is it Chiefs?
It's Chiefs. I'm not buying the Saints. I you could give me all the stats you want. They're a good team. They're going to win that division, but I don't see them making a deep run. I mean, their defense has been pretty good, but I don't know. I don't like the mojo of this team. You know, Michael Thomas really hasn't been a big factor as compared to as he's been in previous years. Alvin Kamara hasn't really been. I mean, he's had some good runs every now and then, but he really hasn't taken over games either. I guess, you know, some people would like to say, oh, well, that's because Drew Brees isn't in the lineup, but Drew Brees really doesn't chuck the ball downfield that much anymore. He probably, I mean, when he comes back, he's probably only going to have this season, and that's going to be it. I don't know. I'm not feeling confident with the Saints. I would rather go with the Chiefs. They got the mojo. You got Patrick Mahomes. You got Andy Reid. You got a decent defense. I think this is Chiefs. I don't see the battle in this one.
Yeah, the Saints lost to the
Eagles.
Yeah,
and that too.
look, the Eagles have been the laughingstock of the league. The Saints just lost to them. So by relationship, product of association there, the Saints are therefore worse than the Eagles. That's how it works in NFL logic. No, seriously, though, the Chiefs have been nigh unstoppable the past few seasons. Betting against the Chiefs is a fool's errand. I'm going with Chiefs. Since Andy Reid's been in Kansas City, you know that I've been a big Chiefs fan, big Andy Reid fan, and you watch them, and they're doing things that other teams can't even dream of doing. You know, I can't even see some teams, you know, coming up with the things that the Chiefs are doing. I mean, number one, overall in offense. I mean, I know the Saints have a pretty good defense, but again, the Eagles found a way to beat them. So they're beatable. They're very easily beatable. And we did that without an electrifying offense. So it's a no-brainer. It's Chiefs. Yep. Next up, we have a fight for the New York Giants to stay alive. The Cleveland Browns are coming into New York to face off against the Giants. It is a Sunday primetime game. The Giants, if they win this and the Washington football team loses their game, could see themselves jump back up into the playoff talk. Rich, can the Giants get it done?
I don't think so. I think the Browns recover from their shootout that happened Monday night against the Ravens. I think the Browns are overall just the better team in this one. More consistent defense, more consistent offense. Baker Mayfield is one of those players that he's starting to not make careless mistakes and at the right time this season. And then you've got the tag team, the unstoppable tag team, it seems, of Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb. Nick Chubb could end up being this year's version of Derrick Henry. It's just nobody can stop him. Until I see somebody stop Nick Chubb consistently during the course of a game, I think you have to go with the Browns in a average kind of matchup against the New York Giants.
Yeah, I mean, people know that I have been sort of higher on the Giants recently. I picked them to win against the Cardinals foolishly. I'm not going to make the same mistake twice. You know, I thought maybe they had a chance. Maybe they were getting hot at the right time, like you thought Washington was getting hot at the right time. It didn't pan out. But how about this? How about the fact that I think the Browns, you know, you can talk about division games. That's a separate conversation. But they're 7-1 in non-division games. Three of their four losses have come to the AFC North, which means outside the AFC North, they're pretty much perfect.
And they're in a tough division.
They're in a very tough division. So that makes sense. So I think the Browns, I mean, I can't believe I'm saying this, but the Browns might be the real deal. They are a playoff worthy team, and stomping out the New York Giants here would just further cement that. They could have a double digit win season in the first time since, God, I think I was in college the last time.
Yeah, it's got to be, what, 08, you know? Since the last time that happened?
Oh, 08, 07, something like that. So I think the Browns here on the precipice of realizing all that pain and turmoil, you know, finally realizing the other end of that, they have to do it. And what a better way to do it than against the Giants, a soft, kind of a softball opponent. So
it's
I think
it's either that, or we got to sing the Cleveland song all over again.
Right, exactly. If they collapse now, man, what a heartbreaker. Yeah. Speaking of heartbreakers, though, we get to watch a battle of the birds. The Philadelphia Eagles are traveling to Arizona to face off against Kyler Murray and the Cardinals. Rich, can Jalen Hurts keep pace with Kyler Murray?
I don't think so. I do think this game will be a close one possession game. But in the end, I don't see an answer to the Kyler Murray to DeAndre Hopkins connection. Even if you have Darius Slay at full 100% capacity, I still don't think this is enough to stop a guy like DeAndre Hopkins. He's literally a top five elite wide receiver. And I forget who's one of the assistant coaches said this in an interview, and it always stuck with me, is if you have a top five elite receiver, that quality kind of wide receiver, you're better off chucking to him in double coverage than you are trying to force the ball to somebody in single coverage. That's the kind of player DeAndre Hopkins is. I think he's going to run wild in this game.
Yeah, I mean, it's long been the bane of our existence, elite wide receivers just torching our defense. Rodney McLeod out for this
season. Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
On the offensive line, Driscoll, who's filling in for Lane Johnson, out for the rest of the season. We have a backup quarterback. We all know the Eagles' woes. I don't need to give a dissertation on all of them now. The Cardinals have a way of just, you know, sometimes their wide receivers are so damaging against us historically. I mean, think about all those years, Larry Fitzgerald just eviscerating us, Anquan Boldling eviscerating us. So just historically, I'm getting flashbacks to these wide receivers running circles around us. But that's been the story all year long. I mean, DK Metcalf and I can't even remember all the McLaurin with the Washington football
Scary
team.
Terry.
I mean, it's Scary yep. Terry, yeah. So, and these guys are not on the same level as DeAndre Hopkins. So, I mean, maybe we go out there. Maybe we shut them down. Maybe we beat them again. A shocker, just like we did with the Saints. All of a sudden, it sparks a comeback. Eagles make the playoffs. We go out in the first round. You know, yada, yada, yada. Same story every year. I don't think it's going to happen, though. I think the Arizona Cardinals win this
okay,
one.
Okay, well, there you go. Hopefully it does for Mike's sake, because I think he'd have a heart attack.
I'm going to go insane.
Yeah, Mike's going to either go insane or have a heart attack if this happens again. But there you go. That's our fantastic four picks for week number 15 of the NFL season. It's sad, man. It's already coming to – I feel like it's already coming to an end already.
You know, this season completely sucked. That's another conversation for another time. But, you know, I can't wait for this stupid season to be over. It's been so dumb, Rich. Every week, every team is infected. Every player has an injury. The Eagles are terrible. It's just like it's been one train wreck after another. I can't, you know, normally I'd be like, I'm sad the season's coming to an end. Get the hell out of here. I'm done with this season.
What's the matter, Mike? You didn't like those Tuesday and Wednesday night football games?
No, I think you mean Wednesday afternoon,
yeah.
3:45 on a Wednesday. I cannot wait for the 2020 season to be over and get back to real football, not whatever this is.
All right, well, we're gonna leave the realm of sports now, move away from football, and we're gonna go into the entertainment realm for the next part of our show. And of course, just Disney came out and just firing on all cylinders, massive announcements all over the place. The first batch has to do with my favorite universe, the Star Wars universe. This is crazy, just an insane. An insane amount of see, here's the problem with it.
It's so exciting. It's all right. What's the problem?
The problem is most of these announcements are kind of just ideas. you know?
Right. They're announcements of announcements or teasers of
teasers.
Yeah,
a lot of this is not set in stone, so I'm not really actually, like, holding my breath for some of this stuff. But there are some things that do make sense that I'm very excited for.
Can I offer a counterpoint to that? Usually when Disney says, when they release Iron Man 1 in 2007, we're going to make a 20-movie cinematic universe, just you watch, and then they actually do it. Usually Disney follows through on promises like that because they know. I feel like most of these announcements, we can rest assured that we will see them come to fruition.
Yeah, but Star Wars has a checkered history with some things. I mean, look, Rian Johnson was supposed to get a trilogy. Remember that?
That is true. As were the Game of Thrones.
Yeah, they were supposed to get a trilogy too. So,
all right, fair enough. But anyway, so let's go over.
Yeah, I want to go over the things that I'm either excited about or that I think is going to happen. All right, so
right.
The first one is obvious. Season 3 of The Mandalorian. That's a given. Perfect.
That's a done deal.
It's The Mandalorian. Mike, I don't know. I don't think you believe me on this, but The Mandalorian is single-handedly saving Star Wars. The show is brilliant.
And you've said that in the past, and I keep seeing great things about it, and I know I got to get back on the bandwagon. Something was minorly spoiled for me recently, but I don't think that's too big of a.
You're referencing Ahsoka.
I mean that's a minor.
Yeah,
spoiler.
Very minor.
That's a minor.
Very,
spoiler.
Very, very minor.
That's a big reveal. That's a big reveal, but it's an exciting reveal. You don't think so?
Just that alone is not as big a deal as you're making it. But the fact that she has a role to play in all this. That will be a spoiler when you find out why, because she has that in The Mandalorian, and now she's going to get her own spin-off show, which it was kind of obvious by signing Rosario Dawson. She's a pretty big name actress. You wouldn't use her just as a cameo or some sort of B plot in the TV show. This is definitely something that she's going to take reins with. So I'm very excited for that. Another one that is going to be interesting to watch is the Obi-Wan spinoff series. Not just Ewan McGregor coming back, but now the return of Hayden Christensen as Darth Vader is going to be interesting.
That'll be very interesting. Hopefully he got a little bit better at acting since episode 3.
Well, I mean, he really doesn't need to act really when you think about it, because he's going to be covered in the Darth Vader mask. He just needs to look intimidating.
This is the role he was born to play. Saying everything monotone and walking robotically. No, I'm giving him a hard time. I'm really excited. This is the thing that I'm excited the most for with all these announcements. I know we have a few more to talk about, but this expansion of the universe, right? I've talked about this before on the podcast about how, yes, the Skywalker saga is awesome, but I want to see the other stories. There's so much to the universe to explore. I'm so tired of the Skywalkers. I know that's probably blasphemous to you, but what else is out there? I've always thought Star Wars was such a fascinating universe. There's so much to learn about, and they're so hyper-focused on this one figure.
No, it's not blasphemous to say that. And a matter of fact, that should even give you more reason to go watch The Mandalorian all this weekend.
Yeah.
Because none of it has to deal with the Skywalker legacy.
Good. That's what I'm excited to see. And I know I'm really bad with my watching The Mandalorian. I got to get back on that.
Well, after this weekend, you have no excuse, because this is the Friday's the season finale. So you can binge watch everything from the start of season 2 to the end. No excuses, Mike.
No excuses. All right. I do have to go on that. But speaking of other shows in the wider universe, they also talked about a Rogue One prequel, Andor, mm-hmm. right? They talked about a possible Lando Calrissian solo show. So I'm really excited to see all these side characters spotlighted, you know, instead of, again, branching out from the traditional Skywalker saga. I think it's interesting stories can be told about these figures.
Yeah, so those are the ones I'm looking forward to the most. There's a couple of other shows that they've announced too.
Some animated stuff.
Like a droid story.
The,
and
Yeah, I mean, it'll be fun for, you know, some people. It'll be like a little niche show, but I mean, the big ones you need to know about are the ones that we covered. The other one, and I know this is like an announcement of an announcement or like a teaser of a teaser of a teaser, but they mentioned The Acolyte, which is, I believe, a show set in the new High Republic era that Disney's working on in the expanded universe. And that is so fascinating to me because it's set, I think it's hundreds of years before the Skywalker saga. And that, you know, I've always talked about this. That's the era that I want to know about. I want to know about the Jedi and the Sith at their very height, you know, or like when things all started to go south for everyone. I would find that era incredibly fascinating because, you know, in my brief researching online, there's way more to the Jedi Order than you ever hear about in any of the 9 movies.
Yeah.
So I'm so interested to see what that is about. Very few details. Like you said, a lot of this stuff is just announcements of announcements or announcements of ideas. So there's a lot to be seen, but just the mention of it, I mean, Disney usually doesn't put out titles and like make a big deal out of things that don't end up happening. So just something to keep our eyes on, I think.
Yeah. And like you said, that'll be interesting because that'll literally go to a place that we haven't seen in terms of live action content. You know,
right.
Usually you have either the prequel era, the original trilogy era, or the sequel trilogy era. But yeah, that's something that we haven't seen is the time before the prequel trilogy, way before that. So it would be interesting if they go down that path. But yeah, I'm not holding my breath for some of these projects because this is
really
some of them I'm not. Because I don't know if it's going to make it. Because it is like, just
you're very skeptical.
It just seems like too much to come out with, you know.
They did announce a lot. I know.
Literally,
part of researching these stories.
If you listed it out, this is 10 different shows. I they're not all going to come to fruition.
Yeah. I mean, that's a shame if they don't, because they sound like they have some really good stuff in the pipeline. Yeah,
some do.
But, I mean,
oh yeah,
right.
Some are good ideas, and some will, but I don't see all 10 of them happening. Speaking of universes expanding, the other universe that Disney has deemed that will be expanding is the Marvel Cinematic Universe. I'm sure you're excited about that, Mike.
Yeah. So just like it was like a 1-2 punch. They announced a bunch of stuff with Star Wars. They announced even more stuff with Marvel. I mean, Marvel is what really started this whole cinematic universe thing, shared universes, and they are expanding it rapidly. I mean, if you thought they were going hard into the MCU before, this is like warp drive now. It's on another level. So right off the bat, one of the big things that they confirmed, which confirms the rumors that we've been talking about, Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness is confirmed to tie into Spider-Man 3, which to me further cements the idea of a live-action Spider-Verse storyline happening. But the other thing that they announced, and these two things are sort of linked, and I'm going to get to this, is they announced a Loki television series. So we know that Loki escaped in Endgame, and they had a trailer, an actual trailer, so this is one that's happening. It's a sort of a crime thriller-style show. Loki's being held by a group called the Time Variance Authority for crimes against the timeline. So it's really interesting that not only is Disney expanding the MCU by bringing in more characters, but they're also expanding it in terms of they can literally go anywhere now, because between the multiverse angle and this Loki time crimes against the timeline and time jumping crime thriller, they're really presenting us with endless possibilities. It's giving them the freedom to talk about any story in any way that they want to, further highlighted by the What If series that they're coming out with, which introduced alternate twists to classic Marvel shows, such as a female Captain America or T'Challa, who becomes Black Panther, becoming Star-Lord in, you know, another, you know, what if this had gone this way type scenario. So not only is Disney continuing with the MCU, but they're also prepping fans for the possibility that we're going to get alternate stories. And now nothing is set in stone, and it's following that classic comic book trope of like nobody's ever really dead and nothing's ever set in stone. So this could either get really kitschy and you know, eye-rollingly absurd, or it could be really interesting if they handle it in a more measured way, you know?
So, as someone who's a big Marvel fan, are you looking more towards the craziness of a multiverse? Or would you be a little bit worried? Because I feel like there's kind of a reason why this works with comic books, because there's so many comic books you can create and sell and everything like that. But movies take, you know, time. They take, you know, a lot of work, a lot of effort. And then if it gets too complicated during the whole process, will audience even go for it? Do you think
it is definitely something to worry about, especially if they try to couple the multiverse with the cinematic universe, because then already the movies are tough because you have to watch all, you know, 30 some odd movies to get the full gist of everything. And then if they introduce multiple universes, all of a sudden it becomes even more complicated. I think the way that they'll use it is they'll use it as a retcon tool, as a reset button tool that opens up the possibility of one, bringing in fresh talent, you know, because Robert Downey Jr. and these actors, I mean, obviously, you know, rest in peace, Chadwick Boseman, and to, you know, the fictional Tony Stark, you can't continue with these same actors forever and ever and ever. And they want to tell as many stories as possible. They want to be as creative and open-ended as possible. So going the multiverse angle gives them the possibility to really, you know, open the floodgates in terms of creativity. What does happen, to your point, is that it can get overly complicated. And you see that happen sometimes. So they do have to use it responsibly. They can't just, you know, throw all these timelines together. All of a sudden you have four Spider-Men and, you know, female and male versions of Thor. And all of a sudden, you know, Tony Stark is back from the dead. And now Black Panthers, I think one of the things they're going to do is they're going to make, I can't remember the character's name, but Black Panther's sister, they're going to use the multiverse to make her Black Panther.
Yeah,
so they're going to do things like that.
I think that's already been kind of teased, I heard.
So they're not recasting Black Panther. That was confirmed, which means that somebody else is going to take up the Black Panther mantle, and the sister, and I cannot remember her name, is pissing me off because she was an awesome character. I loved her character. But since they're not recasting him, who takes up that mantle and how can we make it happen? They could go multiverse, or they could just have Black Panther die off screen, which seems disingenuous to me, right? And you hate off screen deaths.
Yeah.
So I think they could, you know, use the multiverse to explain some of that stuff. They could use the multiverse to explain Spider-Man's exit. They can use the multiverse to do, you know, it could be a rip-roaring good time if handled responsibly. That's the key. But I like the potential. I like the possibility. And, you know, I've always said this, and you kind of, I know it kind of irks you, but until they prove me wrong, Disney has not done wrong in the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
I'm glad you captioned that with that final phrase.
Well, I mean, there's an argument to be made for certain other
universes. Yeah, there are certain other universes they've not done well.
Look, I mean, how many movies? Well, no. I mean, Solo was iffy and 9 was iffy, but 7 and 8 and Rogue One were good. So, I mean, 3 out of 5, right?
3 out of 5 ain't bad. Disney's new song.
It's like 3 out of 5. Yeah, I mean, but yes. I mean, yeah, they have struggled a little bit with the Star Wars universe because it was an existing universe, I think. But the Marvel universe, which they created from the ground up with the first Iron Man, so far they've been, I mean, am I wrong in saying they've been knocking it out of the park? I mean, have you seen a bad MCU movie? You've seen maybe lackluster ones.
Yeah,
but not...
I think it ranges from, if it was a 5-star system, I think it ranges from 3, 4, and 5. I don't think they've ever produced a 1-star movie.
No, they've never produced
a clunker.
Rise of the Skywalker, if you will. Sorry, Rich, but it's true.
I'm glad that's the one you pick.
Rise of the Skywalker was
good.
The worst one.
Because there are some Star Wars fans that would choose other movies.
No. No, it's not even close. It's not even close. Fight me.
Okay, someone fight Mike. Go.
No, don't fight me. No, the one thing we can all agree on is that if you're a Star Wars fan or an MCU fan, you have a lot to look forward to with Disney's upcoming slate. Tons of announcements. We can't even begin to cover them all. I mean, like, literally the list is infinitely long. Go check out, you know, there's tons of articles online, but 2021, 2022, looking to be very good years for MCU and Star Wars shows and movies. But there is something else that we're all looking forward to, Rich. And this announcement, I mean, more than the Marvel and the Disney stuff, really.
This came out of nowhere.
This came out of nowhere. During the Game Awards, it was revealed a new Mass Effect game is in the works from BioWare. Right?
I don't know how this is going to work. This is...
Talk about some multiverse BS. I mean, how are they... So let's just start from the beginning. One, this game is years away. I mean, we're talking at minimum 4 years away. Minimum.
Probably.
I mean, this is you know, just the very barest of, hey, we're working on this type announcement. So 4 or 5 years at the least.
Which is a lot, considering we thought Mass Effect was dead.
Right. We thought this was dead, buried in the ground. They stopped supporting Andromeda. They're like, left all those plot lines hanging. They stopped supporting it with patches. But I was reading some articles that were digging through the reveal trailer, and some very interesting things came up. One, I'm sure you noticed, Rich, as a lot of Mass Effect fans did, that the character in the trailer is an older Liara. It's confirmed basically that it's an older Liara. It's clearly her face markings. She's got wrinkles now. So we know that the Asari lifeline is up to 1,000 years. So this could be hundreds of years in the future, which is what I've always said should happen, but I'm not going to go there. And it's also confirming it's back in the Milky Way. But the audio that's playing throughout the trailer references ARCs launching, ARC 6 launching, which is in reference to the Andromeda mission. In the trailer, there's also a shot of both galaxies at the very beginning of the trailer. And when asked for comment on Twitter, the producer said, intentional. So, are we seeing now a sequel to not one, but both games, tying them together perhaps? Are we getting the crossover that Mass Effect fans are hoping for, that we're getting the resolution of the Reaper War, and also finding out what happened in Andromeda?
Well, I would hope so, because it would be pretty embarrassing if they just left Andromeda on its own. Like, literally all those colonists that took part in the Andromeda project, literally, you're on your own. Bye-bye. We don't want to hear anything from you. This mission never existed. No communication. Right. Bye-bye. See you later. And we're just going to focus on our own stuff here in the Milky Way. That would be kind of a little weird way to start off a new Mass Effect game. Yeah, I guess in order for this to be somewhat satisfying, there's going to have to be some sort of tie-in between what happened with the Shepard trilogy and what happened with Mass Effect Andromeda, which is a shame. I think Andromeda still gets a little bit of unbridled hatred. I found it to be a decent game, a decent story. It wasn't as good as the Mass Effect trilogy, but I still enjoyed it. And I hope it doesn't just get stricken from the record. That shouldn't happen to that game.
No, it shouldn't. And you're right. It wasn't as good. And I think that's the problem, is everybody played the original Mass Effect and it's, you know, 10 out of 10, 9 out of 10, you know, high up there in everybody's regard. And Andromeda just wasn't that. It was average. It was fun. It was a good time. Didn't set the world on fire, but it did get a lot of flack that, looking back on it, was, you know, deserved, but I think it went a little too far. And they really could have made a fun series there if they had been given the chance. But I think this is what's going to correct all that. You know, I think that they're going to take what really worked in Andromeda and they're going to bring it forward to this new sequel. And I think if this new sequel does well, we could very well see a smaller series that eventually ties Andromeda and the Milky Way and the Shepard trilogy together. So I'm really looking forward to this. I'm really excited about all the possibilities. I love the fact that it's set back in the Milky Way, hundreds of years later, and we finally get to see what happened afterwards. That was the biggest criticism of the original trilogies. We don't know what happened afterwards. Why is it that all Mass Effect games are like that? Andromeda, Milky Way, we're like, why don't we ever get to see what happens afterwards? Now maybe we'll get a little bit of a little bit of insight into what happened after in both universities. Another key point here, former BioWare talent that had left the developer, the development studio, they are returning specifically to work on this game. So people had previously worked on Mass Effect 2 and 3 who had left BioWare came back to the developer just to work on this game. So to me, it's very reassuring. To me, that's BioWare acknowledging like, hey, we messed up with Andromeda. We need the old team back. We need to get the gang back together. So I'm very excited to see that. And they're making a big deal of it. They made a big deal on Twitter about introducing like, you know, these returning people. So they're clearly very excited to bring this key talent back. And I think it's going to be a good thing for the game and a good thing for Mass Effect fans.
Yeah, I mean, either way, no matter if you're disappointed in the trailer or you're thrilled or you're average, at least Mass Effect is now back alive in some way, shape, or form, because of 2 weeks ago, it was dead in the water. We thought it was over. This was never going to get, or the only thing was going to be a remastered thing. We didn't think there would be a continuation of the series. So at the very least, we have that, and that Liara is a part of it. Thank you, Liara.
You were a big Liara.
Yes,
shipper,
I was. Yeah.
Tally forever.
No, anyway. You're stealing Garrus's girl. Stop it.
She wasn't Garrus's girl if I got there first.
Damn. Wow. All right. Mike laying down the law there.
I'm just saying.
Damn.
Just saying.
All right. Mike being ruthless with his Mass Effect characters.
You gotta be.
Well, speaking of getting ruthless, I think that's a good transition into our odd news, because you never know how powerful or crazy or wacky or vengeful people are. Okay. I have a story here that sounds dangerous, but it turns out to be a silly reason. Okay. We're going to talk about the case of 20-year-old Caleb Kless of Florida. By the way, he's from Florida, so I need you to do your sound effect.
Who's this effing guy in Florida? It's Florida, and they're crazy. Yep. So Caleb
Kless, what a name.
I like that alliteration.
Yeah, Caleb.
Got the CLs in both names.
Yep,
yeah.
Caleb Kless. Okay. So initially, the news story reads something pretty serious. He was arrested after he was found to have a loaded AR-15 rifle in his car. So not very good status there to start off with.
Nope.
So cops were curious about why he had this. Apparently this all started with a traffic altercation in his 2016 Volkswagen near his apartment. A witness told cops that he saw the barrel of an AR-15 rifle sticking out his vehicle's driver's side window. That's when cops were called to the scene. When cops asked him why he was carrying an AR-15, he noted this for the record, and it's in the police report. Quote, "I'm carrying the weapon because, look, crazy stuff happens in Florida." He's actually using our odd news as a defense for carrying an AR-15.
I'm speechless. I love this story so much. We've gone full meta now with Florida and the odd news. Like, Florida has acknowledged how crazy Florida is and is taking steps to protect itself from Florida.
Yeah. So
This is wild. Why don't they just not be weird?
No, that's not a simple solution, Mike. You're better off just getting AR-15s for everybody, every Floridian.
Right. Exactly. If they make a statewide mandate, everybody gets an AR-15. You know, it'll balance it all out. Yep. Right.
He further went on to note that he believed that if he had the AR-15 sticking out of the gun, that would put great fear into anybody that would think of stepping up to him. Ha ha.
So he had it, what, sticking out of the, what, his car?
Yeah. So he had it was in the driver's seat and the barrel was coming out through the window.
What an idiot.
Great Fear.
Great Everyone, Fear.
Okay. When you walk by my car, you will experience great fear.
But don't put yourself in situations where you have to scare away people. Like, I've never been in a situation where I have to like scare away people. Like geese maybe, but not people.
Oh,
like,
no, we're going back to geese now. This is
That just dawned on me. But like,
did you wish you could have a rifle against those geese that attacked you?
Look, I would have been eating good that day if I had a rifle. Right? That's all I'm saying. But no, like, why is he putting himself in situations where he thinks he's going to need to scare away people with an AR-15? What are you doing in Florida that you think your random people are just going to start assailing you?
Well, I mean, it is Florida. We've had stories where wacky stuff happens.
This is a very slippery slope now, Rich. We can't just have Florida accusing Florida of being Florida. I mean, where does it end? Where does the madness end?
It's a self-fulfilling prophecy. It just keeps going over and over and over again.
It is. And Florida's like, well, we have to be weird because Florida. And everyone is sitting back like, do you not hear what you're saying, Florida? And I don't know why we're addressing the whole state as a singular unit, because that's just what
happens.
I think
that's fine considering all the Florida odd news stories we've had throughout the years.
I agree.
According to the police report, the AR-15 was, quote, displayed carelessly. I thought that was an interesting little phrase.
Displayed carelessly.
I thought that was an interesting turn of phrase there.
It is.
It was, quote, in plain view of everyone that walked by his car.
It was loaded, too, and sticking out the window.
Yeah.
Like, who cares if it's in plain view? It's loaded and sticking out the window. Like, if it, for whatever reason, accidentally goes off, I mean, you know.
Unfortunately for Kleiss, this ended up going even further because he was ordered to then take a breathalyzer test, and it was showed he was also highly intoxicated at the time of the incident.
That is a shocker. I can't believe that would happen to anybody in Florida.
Yep. Kleiss told police that he thought he could carry the AR-15 out in public and put it in his passenger seat for self-defense. And, quote, I have seen crazy stuff since I came to Florida.
Oh, my God. Florida might not survive 2020. I think I said it last week, but now, like, people are just openly carrying assault rifles to protect themselves against themselves.
Yes.
Like,
Florida will be Florida.
Florida going to Florida. Yeah.
Kleiss also noted that he bought the AR-15 after he, quote, listened to rap music.
What?
Yeah.
Listen to that. That dang rap music.
I think you're gonna realize why somebody would say something like that. This is the mugshot of the dude. So there you go. He listened to one rap song and he figured he needed an AR-15 in his car.
Of course.
Yo, yo, yo. Boom, 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 boom. I don't know. Sudden rap music. I don't know. It's the best I could come up with.
Wow. That was rap music.
That was the best I could come up with.
Everyone would love to hear more.
That's the best I could come up with on such short notice.
You know, if this were a normal show, Rich, you would have your soundboard and you could play the clip. I'm hip with the rap music.
Yeah.
Or, you know, remember
I'm
that
hip
one?
With the rap music. That's me.
Hip with the rap music. Yeah. That's Rich right there. Hip with the rap music. You hear those crazy beats he's dropping? How'd it go? Boom, 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 boom.
Yeah, that's it.
That's all. That classic number one single.
It is. It's
DJ
top,
Richie Rich.
Top of the charts, right there. Just going straight there.
Platinum. And it was inspired by that guy right there.
Thank God for Caleb Kleiss. What a story here.
Yeah. I love how he listened to one rap song.
Yeah.
I listened to a rap.
A rap.
I had a rap, and I had to buy
an AR-15 rifle. Yep. He was charged with drunk driving, improper exhibition of a dangerous weapon, and using a firearm while under the influence. He was released after posting a $900 bond. That's it. That's all he got. $900 bond.
I guess he didn't really. No, wait, he was driving under the influence.
Yeah.
I was going to say, he didn't do anything that serious. I mean, it's all serious, but like in the grand scheme of odd news.
Yeah.
But no, he was driving around intoxicated. That's not
yeah,
good.
Still not good. It should have been a little bit more, I think.
It should have been more. Should have been more.
So there you go. Florida will be Florida.
Florida going to Florida. Yeah,
be careful. And Mike, you might be right. They might not make it.
I mean, we're coming down to the end here. Hold on, Florida. Yeah. Hold on. We got to keep America's wang intact. Yeah.
Okay, so before we wrap up the show, it's time to go over apocalypse activities. Mike, what do you recommend people do or watch or follow this weekend?
Oh, that's a good question. I don't know. You know what I recently watched? I can't remember the name of the show. It's a Wonderful Life. You know, the classic Christmas music movie. So, you know, with it being Christmas next week, everybody get in the Christmas mood, watch some of your favorite Christmas movies. I know I recommended a few the past couple of weeks. I recommended Klaus on Netflix. You know, I love The Muppets Christmas Carol is another classic, at least for me. There's so many versions of The Christmas Carol.
Yeah.
You know, they're always a lot of fun. You got to find one that speaks to you, and there's like 100 different versions. So my recommendation is go watch some Christmas movies. I think it's time to throw on the Christmas movies, especially with the snow outside. Put on a Christmas movie, snuggle up with a blanket with some coffee or hot chocolate, and enjoy yourself.
Yeah, but the problem
get in the holiday
the problem
spirit.
With that is the term Christmas movie can now be brought into a lot of big movies, and I'm happy to extend
Don't
the goalpost because there are
Don't
a lot of
this,
movies
Rich.
That I would consider a Christmas movie that you could totally watch. Should I even go into a list of those?
Go ahead, Rich. Does anybody want to know why I'm reacting this way? So let me give you a little bit of background. Are you going to talk about Die Hard?
Oh no.
So let me give you a little bit of background, behind the scenes background. So Rich and I, we have our group of friends that we sometimes do Zoom calls with. And without fail, every time, and those of you who are on those Zoom calls and watching this know that Rich brings up Die Hard being a Christmas movie every single time.
It's not my fault. It comes up in conversation.
So go ahead. Tell us why. No, I know. It's just funny. This is just your personal vendetta. And I agree with you. I don't know why people disagree with you, but oh my God, he has the book. Why does he always have the book? I don't understand.
Look, Die Hard is a Christmas movie. I have a book to prove it. And it says right there, if I can get it in the right thing, Die Hard Christmas.
It does, Die Hard
It's right
Christmas.
There. It was published. So there you go. Die Hard, the story, the wonderful, mystical story of Die Hard is a Christmas book and Christmas story.
Do you just, is that the only book you own? Do you just carry it around with you?
Maybe. I don't read.
Oh my God. So again, background information. Every time that Rich brings up Die Hard in those Zoom calls, he has that book with him. Like you're just ready to like make this argument
yeah.
wherever you go.
It's
brilliant.
Great.
I love
so,
it.
So there you go.
But since you brought it up, it is definitely a Christmas movie.
Thank you. Thank you.
I agree, 110%.
Thank you. My apocalypse activities.
yeah, what's your apocalypse activities?
I'm just going to say, watch Mandalorian. This is it. Season 2 finale is this Friday. So this is if you haven't watched any of Season 2 or you fell behind or something, this is the time to catch up. And you can binge watch the entire first and second season and knock it all out on Disney+. I don't think it's an exaggeration. The Mandalorian is single-handedly saving Star Wars right now, and with good reason. So,
wow,
it's worth your time. Go check it out. But you know what? I can't believe it. I think we made it through the whole show without losing connection.
We did.
So
we did.
Thank you, Nor'easter Bunny. Thank you, Nor'easter Gods. That. We were able to still come together and give you a podcast throughout this crazy stormy night. And most importantly, thank you guys for tuning in and watching and following us here on the Crispy Compact Communique. If you like what you heard, make sure you go to our website, thecrispynoodle.com. Make sure you're following us on all the social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, the whole shebang, and all that fun stuff.
That's right. You can also subscribe to our channel on YouTube, where you can get video versions of the podcast, as well as a whole bunch of other great content. But you can also subscribe to the audio version of the podcast on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, and Google Podcasts. So make sure you search for, download, and subscribe to the Crispy Noodle Podcast on YouTube or the podcast service of your choice.
That's right. We also have a SoundCloud page where you have the mini noodles, the best bits of the show, shrunk down to a quick promo clip that you can easily listen to with friends and family and share with them the craziness of the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
That's right. So many ways to get in touch with and share the Crispy Noodle Podcast. But if you want to get in touch with us individually on Twitter to share your sports, entertainment, or odd news stories, you can find us there. I'm at Mikey Costanzo, MikeyCostanzo.
And I am at Rich Liebig, RichLiebig. Find us on the Twitters and let us know what's happening. And if you want us to talk about something specific, tweet at us and we'll give you a shout out if we do talk about your topic. So send that our way. But for right now, it's time to wrap this up. This has been the Crispy Compact Communique, a 2020 version of the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the Crispy Noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. Anything else, Mike?
No, everybody have a safe, warm weekend. Stay inside and have a good time.
And there you go. Have a good time. Perfect. Have a good time. I love that. End the show right there.
And
have a good time. Fantastic. All right. We'll see you guys next week.
Later.
Bye-bye. Have your good time.
Some of us have great stories, pretty stories that take place at lakes with boats and friends and noodle salad. A lot of people, that's their story. Good times, noodle salad.
I'm Robert Waters, and this has been the Crispy Noodle 2020.